Turn in your Bible to Isaiah 54. I feel two or three different directions tonight. Amen. And I just want to encourage you tonight. Simply, the first word of this chapter says, sing. I'm not really preaching on singing tonight, but I think that's a directive from the power of the Holy Ghost. That's an anointed word there. Sing. Let me remind you that the song comes through joy. The trial might write the lyrics, but the joy inspires you to open up and to sing. Going through a hard time may cause you to sit down and realize how blessed you are and how much you depend on Him. Amen. But it comes to a point in your life where you have to realize He's everything you've got, and it has to well up inside of you, and the joy inside of you has got to be greater than the trial on the outside for you to open your heart and for a song to pour forth. I said sing tonight. I don't understand people who go out. There's no surprise to me why alcohol and country music run hand in hand. You know why? Because there's no joy in that song. Amen. If there is any joy, it's in stealing somebody else's wife. It's in stealing somebody else's pickup truck. It's in something that isn't quite on the level. And that's why they got to tone down all their senses to enjoy it. That's why they got to get out and dance in a vile manner to enjoy it. But tonight, the Word of God simply tells us to sing. Amen. This is not a song that may hit number one on the Billboard charts, but it's a song that comes out of a heart that's been set free, that is above sin, that it's above reproach. Amen. And a song can boil forth out of your spirit that'll cause you to sing something that'll lift the name of Jesus Christ higher, that'll let the devil around you know that you're singing because you're not on the regular playing field with the rest of the world, but that you're on a different level, that you're a stranger passing through, and I'm headed to a better place. And sometimes you just feel like singing. He tells us to sing. 9 times out of 10, when you get in church and the Holy Ghost begins to really move, it's during some time when somebody who's got the victory grabs a microphone and stands up and begins to sing the songs of Zion. Amen. Begins to sing about the redemption of the blood of Jesus Christ. What are the angels doing tonight? The angels that can see our Heavenly Father who purchased our salvation. The angels that aren't waiting any longer to see Jesus face to face. They've already done that. They're already there. They've been there all along. And what are they doing tonight? They're singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why? Because they're above sin. I've been up here more than once and I'm feeling the Spirit of God already. I've been battling all day. I thought, God, have you left me? Have you left me alone? What's going on? I don't know where you're at. I'm not sure I'm feeling you right, but I'm feeling Him right now. Hallelujah. I feel like singing myself. Hallelujah. A man or saint of God who gets a song and it comes out of their heart. Why do the angels sing? Because they're above sin. Because they no longer struggle with things. They're not in the struggle. They're not in the fight. But I'll tell you what, we are tonight. We're in the midst of a battle, but I'm glad to know that I serve a God, Brother George, who can come down in the darkness of the night and put a song in your heart, and you can sit up in the middle of your trial. It may be dark and it may be bleak, but something rises up within you, not out of your mind and not out of your spirit, but out of a spirit. He said, out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. Amen. Sometimes I think it comes forth with just a song and you begin to worship and praise. You don't have to be a singer, but you've got to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ. Sing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sing. I never forget when I was a young teenager. I was about a junior in high school in the ministry. We hit tough times. We hit some serious, serious situations in our life, in our home. I know you sit there, you think we're perfect. Well, most of you don't think I'm perfect, but you think they're perfect. You think I was raised in a perfect home. You think everything was just smooth sailing. Well, I'll tell you, sir, and I'll tell you, ma'am, it wasn't always like that. There were times, Sister Maria, we went through just as dark at times as anybody else has gone through, because I'm here to tell you tonight, the devil's no respecter. Amen, Brother David. He is going about looking for somebody he can sap and looking for somebody he can knock down and drag out. I'll tell you what, we need to get a song in our heart to where when he gets anywhere near us, Brother Michael, he knows that we're still redeemed. He knows that we're still blood bought and we're still on the way to heaven. It seemed for a time that our song had been silenced. It seemed for a time that everything was doomed to fail. It seemed for a time everything that I was young, I hadn't done much work. worked ministerially, but mom and dad had spent their lives. And it seemed at that moment, Brother Kevin, that it was over. It appeared that it was done for. It appeared that everything was on the sand, and the waves of sin and the waves and the tides of this world and the pressures of the enemy were just about to wash it out. Don't look at me like that tonight, because I know some of you have been through it, and some of you are sitting there tonight feeling the same way. Well, I'm here to tell you tonight, you don't have to go out the way you came in. You can go out with something different happening inside of your soul. I would like to remember the song, and I don't know if I can, but through that time, I remember one night, I always played music. There was always music. Good gospel music. I believe that if you're filling yourself with the singing of this world, then you ought to have a dopey face, and you ought to be half sapped of your victory all the time. Don't ask me why I got victory and you can't hang on to it when you fill yourself with the trash of this world. Amen. The music scene in America is just as vile as the Hollywood scene. It's all intertwined. Amen. It's a bunch of people that don't have any work ethic for the most part, and they sleep all night, or they sleep all day, and they party all night. Amen. They get in the back rooms before they go out to those manic crowds, and they shoot the drugs and the dope into their veins, and they get high, and they come out and sing to our young people, and some of us will let it creep into our young people's lives and in our homes. I tell you what, you ought to get a hold of the song of the redeemed. You ought to get a hold of something that'll lift your spirit when you're low. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I said I wasn't preaching about singing, but I feel good preaching about singing, because we need to sing. I'll never forget, I didn't even know what had happened. About a month after the whole thing was over, my mom stood in the pulpit and she said, I'll tell you what got me through this. I heard a song playing out of that bedroom that let me know that it was going to be all right. Amen. It said it's only the first time, because he's forgotten the last time. Hallelujah. You didn't hear me. I said, it's only the first time, because he's already forgotten the last time. Some of you don't have a song anymore, because all you can do is be reminded of the last time you fell. Well, listen here, devil. I don't remember the last time, because I'm going in the power of God, and he don't remember it either. Some of you think you're bigger than God. Some of you think you're going to take God's place and go ahead and remember what your brother down the pew's done and what your sister down the pew has done. I'll tell you what you ought to do. You ought to ask God to forgive you. Get your eyes on your own life and clean your own spirit up and get your spirit right and get a song in your own heart. And before you know it, you'll be loving them like you love yourself. He said, sing. Why are we singing? Sister Jaretta, listen to why we're singing tonight. Sing, O barren, thou that did not bear. Break forth into singing and cry aloud, thou that did not travail with child, for more are the children of the desolate than the children of the married wife, saith the Lord. We're going to sing because we've been in trouble. We're going to sing because we've been in tribulation. We're going to sing because our wombs have been closed. Amen. There's nothing more tragic. You hear me? There's not a sadder story on the face of the earth than somebody who cannot produce seed that follows after them. I don't mean to be trite. I don't mean to be harmful to anybody, but I've watched some of those people who can't. And when they take a child into their arms, it's a little strained and it's a little stressed. But you can feel the yearning of their heart, Brother Kevin. And you can see the tears well up in their eyes, because they know they never had an opportunity. They never had that chance. Amen. Some of us sit here, and I'm not talking about physically tonight. I'm talking about spiritually. The reason why you don't feel the power of God tonight is because the devil's come by and shut you down and turned you off and got you hooked on things of this world. But I'm telling you tonight, we're not singing because we're hooked on the world. We're singing because our deliverance is nigh. I've seen the joy when somebody goes back, Brother Kevin, that can't have children, and they open the Bible and says, next year, this time, I'm going to have a child. Hallelujah. I've seen the joy. I've seen the joy when that which wasn't now is. Amen. I've seen the joy when that which was shut down is now open. I've seen the joy when that which was once stifled is now vibrant. Where have you seen it? Right here. Right here. I was raised here on a church pew. I was raised in an altar bench. I was raised knowing the songs. I was raised, Brother Mike, knowing everything there was to know about the house of God. But there was still a time when I had to get right back in there and let the Spirit of God wash me and let Him cleanse me and change me and set everything right to where I could have a song again. You can't serve God and mammon. You can't do it. Don't try. You can't serve both. House divided against itself is not going to stand. Well, how do I build it? You've heard enough messages over this pulpit. You've been told. You've been warned. You've been made to understand that you have to get behind the leadership. I'm not talking about myself. I'm talking about the people that started this church who had the Spirit of God. A young man who would hear the call of God say, go out to a town called Riverdale, who'd only been through it once or twice, wasn't even sure where it was at, but he heard the call of God. Amen. We don't have a fly-by-night preacher. We don't have somebody here because we pay them a certain amount of money. We got somebody here because God sent them, and we need to realize that we've got the best situation. We've got the best opportunity, and you better line up. How do you lose your song? Get involved in sin. How do you lose your song? Fit in with the world. Oh, I can make it. Your kids can't. Because very shortly down the road, you'll be sitting here half washed out. And you'll be thinking in the back of your mind, I wonder where Johnny's at tonight. I wonder where my Susie's at tonight. I wonder what she's doing. I wonder what's going on. Listen, I'm not pointing fingers tonight. But I'm telling you, you better do what's right tonight. You better get back to the place where the song is the song of the redeemed. And not a song of selfishness. And not a song to this world, but a song to God. Sing, thou that did not bear. Sing those that could not travail. Sing those that have been washed out. Sing those that have been messed up by the enemy. Sing those that have scars on their lives. Sing, I said. Sing those of you that have went through tragic situations. Sing those of you that have loved ones outside of the ark of safety. Sing. That's what he told them. Sing. I don't know how to convey it, but I'll tell you what, there's nothing like the song of the redeemed. Amen. I was mentioning that the angels tonight are singing, but the word of God tells us that it's nothing compared to the song of those who have been blood-bought. I believe the angels can sing beautifully. I believe it's a beautiful chorus. I believe it's a beautiful anthem. But I'll tell you what, tonight we have an opportunity to outdo them tonight. We have an opportunity to upstage the angels that are seeing the face of God. We have an opportunity to shake heaven's throne room. This is the exciting part. Verse 2 says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not. Just in case, and I know this is kind of a sideline, just in case you're that person that says, well, we've wasted a lot of money with this. Look at this. I mean, we got a balcony. We could have saved how many thousands? You didn't have to do this. You didn't have to do that. I'm not even sure I like the big church atmosphere. I had a guy tell me that the other night. Well, I'm glad God took me out of Riverdale when he did, because I wouldn't stand that big church stuff. I like my little church. Yeah, you like your selfish soul too. I didn't tell him that, but I should have. Enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine habitation. Spare not, lengthen thy cords, and strengthen thy stakes. What's changed? Nothing. Nothing's changed, Uncle Les. We're still going through the same battles. We're still going through the same problems. The bank account doesn't look any different than it did yesterday. My son and my daughter have still not gotten saved. They're still not doing what they ought to be doing. But yet he's telling me to enlarge myself, to lengthen my cords and spare not, and strengthen my stakes. What does that mean? That means to put them down deeper. That means to get rooted right here. That means to dig in a little bit. Amen. Some of you that are a little flighty, we don't know when you're going to be and when you're not going to be. Some of you that we can't trust, huh? And put any confidence in you in the church. Some of you that the pastor can't call on. The Bible's saying you need to start singing. And I know that you're going through troubles. But you need to start enlarging everything you got. And you got to start putting some stakes down in the right soil. And spare not. For thou shalt break forth on the right and on the left. And thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. That's why I'm singing tonight. I said, that's why I'm singing. I don't know how to touch where you're at. I don't know that this is the greatest message or there's any way for me to convey and get it to you. But I'll tell you tonight, there are desolate cities right here. There are places that were well watered at one point. There are places where you had the Spirit of God, Sister Jaretta, and you felt His presence before. And the enemy's come by and he's closed up everything that God had ever done. And some of your issues and family situations may look a little helpless tonight. But I'm telling you that He gives us the directive tonight to begin to sing to Him. Hallelujah. He gives us the directive, Brother Roland, to stretch it out a little bit and plan on it. Because He said He'll do the job. We've been through trials. We've been through troubles just in the last few days. I've been through things I didn't want to go through. There's been situations I've had to think about I didn't want to think about. You know what? But it's not going to rob me of my song. You know what I'm going to do, brothers? I'm going to decide that if He said He would do it, I'm going to sing and let Him do His job. Some of you don't have any song because you sit in your little enclosed quarters. You've got everything so tight and wrapped up. You think you can hold on to the world right under the curtain? I'll tell you what, He's telling you to bust the walls out. He's telling you to get spread out a little bit. Spare not. You need to step out in some faith. Some of you got some money. You ought to break out a little bit and come to the pastor and say, brother, I want to bless you. I want to be one of those to put the projectors up. I want to be one of those to put the screens up. Don't you know we're in a bad economy? Yes, I know we're in a bad economy. But it just said, spare not. Did you hear me? I said it said, spare not. Some of you sitting on it because you think it's going to save you for another day. Well, I'll tell you what, it might be the saving of your household if you step out and enlarge your tents and drive your stakes down a little bit larger, deeper, and let God know that you've got a song. The correlation here is the temple, the traveling tabernacle with the tent stakes and the curtains and enlarging the church. I mean, they traveled with that thing for a lot of years. God never wanted to be in a tent, but he dwelt there because he loved his people. But he expected them to do what he asked them to do. Brother Chuck, what are you getting at? I'm telling you tonight, God wants to pour out a blessing. But some of you, you can't keep on to what God gives you in a service. You walk out, you lose it. You walk away, you forget it. You get busy doing your own thing. You get back involved in things you ought not to be involved in. And there's no way for God to bless you. I'll tell you what, we got to get a song, Sister Pine, that will carry us through. Our song has got to change. It's got to be a melody that would please God every moment of the day. It's got to be a melody that he can hear that will lift you up and draw you closer to him in the darkest of the night when the trials are the hardest and the strongest. Something's got to well up inside of you where you can sing, I've got a feeling everything's going to be quite all right. In verse 11 he says, O thou afflicted, tossed with tempest and not comforted, behold, I will lay thy stones with fair colors. Now we're moving out of the tent. You hear me? Why? Because they would sing. I'm talking about your home. The struggles that are there. The struggles, the pressures, the pulls and the pushes. I'm not talking about when the enemy comes in and tries to rock the foundation. I've been there and I know what that is. And you have internal struggles and arguments that aren't necessary. I know what that is. I understand. I'm talking about sin issues, things you get involved in that cause your foundation to be crumbling. I'll tell you what, you better get a song to the Lord and shirk sin. You better get away from it. You better run from it and hate it with all of your heart. He said, I will lay thy stones with fair colors and lay thy foundations with sapphires. And I will make thy windows of agates and thy gates of carbuncles and thy borders of pleasant stones. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. See, some of you, you think you're just going to wait it out. You're just going to make it through. And you think that heaven is all there is to it. But I'm here to tell you now, if you'll sing to the Lord, amen, he'll take those tents that you've spread out, Sister Pine, and he'll build you a holy mansion right here on this earth. I mean, he said he's going to build you a foundation out of sapphire, amen, and windows out of agates, amen, and gates out of carbuncles. He's going to build you a home that he can dwell in, amen, something that you can enjoy. Why? Because you've got a song to the Lord. Your children be raised in peace and your children kept from the grips of this world. Why do I live the way I do? One of my greatest inspirations are my children. The only times I've ever got myself involved in things I should not ought to was when I got so selfish I didn't care about them. Think back to myself, how could I have done that? I knew better. How could I allow myself, my heart, and my mind to think that way and go that direction? What do I want? I want my children to be raised in righteousness under the peace of God. A day and an age when things are turning quickly. The homosexual push and torment on the television. You can hear it if you listen to the radio. The cable TV pumps it in by the hour. HBO proudly claiming that they have more sitcoms with leading characters who are homosexual and proud of it. It's perversion. Amen. It's still wrong. The Bible still says that they go against natural affection. They go against the way their body was made. They go against everything that was put and instilled into them. I have children. I know. You get a little girl and you give her a baby doll and the motherly instinct comes out of her, pours out of her. I know they're tomboys, and I understand that. They may throw their dollies headlong and climb a tree. I understand that. There's some issues like that. But I'll tell you what, it's not perversion, and it's not sick and perverse. I'll tell you what we need. We need to get back to the peace of God. I can see our tents being enlarged. I can see our stakes being driven deeper. I can see God pouring out. When's the last time we had somebody come up and say, I decided right in the middle of service, when you're not even making an altar call, and somebody say, I got to get rid of this mess, and I want to get involved and do what's right. Some of you sitting there thinking, oh, that's the biggest fake I ever saw. Well, brother and sister, you ought to shout a little bit and you ought to ask God to make it real and make it right and make it stick and make it last and let the song be right. In righteousness thou shalt be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression and thou shalt not fear, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Behold, they shall surely gather together. Talking of your enemies. Behold, they shall surely gather together, but not, God says, not by me. People say, oh, why is God letting me go through this? Why is he letting me? Why is he putting this on me? Why is he putting this struggle on me? God hasn't done it, sir. God hasn't done it, ma'am. If you'll get a song in your heart, amen, and if you'll follow his directive, I know there's been tough times in the past. I know you're not perfect. I know you bear scars, but if you'll obey the word of the Holy Ghost and you'll obey him and sing with your voice to the Lord, sing out of your heart to the Lord, he's going to take care of you. He said, they'll gather together, but it won't be through me. I'll stop them. I'll shut them down. That's what he says. Whosoever shall gather together against thee shall fail for thy sake. Well, you're not nearly as excited about it as I am. See, I put myself in situations where I could have people gather against me. That's just all there is to it. I got a past. I've got issues. There are things in my life I'm not proud of. There are scars that I don't really want to bear to anybody. And I know that it would be the devil's delight to slip in and say, hey, this guy right here doesn't need to be up on that pulpit. He doesn't need to be preaching, thus saith the Lord. That anointing he's got is fake. But I'll tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to keep a song that'll keep the devil at bay. Amen. I'm going to stretch the cords a little longer. And when I get a chance, I'm going to drive the stakes a little bit deeper. You read it in Joshua chapter 6 or 7, I don't know which one it is, where it said that Jericho was shut up because of the Israelites. The Israelites hadn't lifted a finger to Jericho. The Israelites hadn't even got close to Jericho. A couple of spies and went and checked it out. That's all that happened. But the people of Israel, they had a song, you hear me? They weren't afraid to enlarge their tents. They had a leader that when he said, let's move, they all moved. You read the pledge they took when Joshua took command. They said, we will be behind thee, and if we're not behind thee, let us die. Well, guess what? It's really the same pledge we have here. It's the truth. You get behind the church or else you wait your time out and you die whenever the devil comes in. That's the way it happens. I've seen it happen over and over and over again. You're not gloating in it. We don't like it. We hate it. You hate to see people leave the church, but they got out of line. They wouldn't obey. They wouldn't do. They wouldn't follow. They thought their own worldly ideas were quite all right. They thought they could hold hands with the world and try to hold hands with God, and it's not going to happen. Why was Jericho shut up? Because they feared the people of God. You tell me how long a city can stay shut up and still function. A week, a month, I don't know. But it's not good for a city. A walled city can't stay shut up very long. They've got to send men out. They've got to send the trash out of the city. They've got to bring supplies in. They don't grow crops inside of a walled city. It's not very long till it starts dying. They've got to have some way to get in and get out. But when the people of God were on their doorstep, they shut the doors. They didn't need the people of God getting in. Amen. And you listen to me one more step, people of God, we don't need in. Amen. I said we don't need in. The Israelites knew that the promised land was right beyond Jericho, but they didn't need to send their young men and women down the streets of Jericho to see all the frivolity and see the sin and the filth and the trash. They didn't need to see it. Amen. I almost preached on, we don't need to go inside. We need to go over the walls. We need to go through it. Amen. We don't need to go in and get involved in what's going on. You don't need to drag your child down the roads and the streets and the avenues of sin and let them get their eyes full of it. If my son ever goes and sits at a table and gambles his money away, it's not because he can say his daddy did it. You hear me? He's never going to point his finger at me and say, hey, dad, you did it. Amen. If my son ever goes and sits at a bar room and drinks himself drunk, I don't want it to be because he said, well, dad, remember when you used to do it. Amen. And the things that I've been involved in that I would never want my children to be involved in, there's one way to reconcile and make sure they don't go down that road, and that's to sing a song that's so loud and so pure that they know God is my deliverer. Some of you ought to shout on that. Some of you ought to get excited about that. Some of you lived worse lives than I did, and you ought to be excited that there's a way and a place where you can sing and cover the past. The problem today is the world's open to the church. Everything's quite fine because they don't fear the church. They don't think we have any power. Amen. They'll put Christian acts right up with the secular acts. You know why? Because they know the Christian acts don't have any power of God. They don't have enough of God's spirit to get up and convict a soul. They wouldn't try to if they were told to. This is some serious stuff. I'm telling you right now, the world is all buddied up with the church. The church is all buddied up with the world. And some of them may think they've got everything all covered up and think they've got it all taken care of, but your kids are going to be lost. Jericho was shut up for a reason, because they feared. VeggieTales can make fun when they look over the wall and laugh and say, ha ha, keep walking, but you won't knock down. But I'll tell you right now, that wasn't the plan. That wasn't the situation. There was some wringing of hands. They had already heard how that God had stopped that Jordan River and caused it to stop running. And they knew that if God could stop the Jordan River, those walls were no match for the power that was lying inside of those people. And I'll tell you what, if we could somehow let a song resonate out of this body of believers that God could hear, I know that people around us would hear and they would come running from every side and every angle. We heard it prophesied. They're going to come from the north and the south and the east and the west, but we better get to singing the right song. He says in verse 17 of this chapter, no weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper. No weapon that is formed against thee. You read and you study it. Amen. That's a weapon that's created for you. A weapon that has studied your battlement and your fortification. This isn't the same weapons that they're getting alcoholics and drunks and people that are already wasted. This is weapons that come into the church house and try to sneak in the pews like they're doing in churches across this nation. Churches that are full of men and women who proclaim the name of God, yet they're living homosexual lifestyles. You hear me? They're living immoral lifestyles. They're saying one thing, they're living another. Their minds and their hearts are wicked. They're deceitful. They're not right. How are we going to separate ourselves? How are we going to be better than that? I'll tell you how we'll be better than that. We got to sing a song so that God stays on our side. So when they start forming the weapons, they will not prosper. And every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment, thou shalt condemn. This is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness is of me, saith the Lord. Do you have a song tonight? Are you in a struggle? Are you in a drought? Are you in a battle? Do you have a song tonight? Hallelujah. Maybe you need to go back and check what you've been singing. Maybe you need to go back and get something a little more directed of God. Maybe you need to let go of some of the world. Maybe you need to shove it aside. Maybe you need to push it back. Maybe you ought to focus your eyes on God, because the directive before God does anything is to get a song. I said you're directed before God does anything to get a song. Once you were barren, once you could not travail, now there's life. Once you were enclosed, now you've spread out and you're bursting forth on the right. And on the left, you're bursting forth. Everything's full, given by God. And your enemies are shut down. Your children in peace. Your house is rebuilt with gems and precious stones. And your children are raised in peace. And the weapons formed against you cannot prosper. I said the weapons against you can't prosper. Stand tonight. Oh, Brother Jim, as you come to the piano, I just want to make an altar call tonight, because I know there's some struggling going on. I know there's men and women, children, young people, you're fixing to start school. You've been dealing with some stuff. You've been dabbling in some stuff. You need to get it right. Amen. You need to get your song restored. You need to get your spirit right. Amen. You think God's going to come in and bless you? He's not anywhere near you, sir. He's not anywhere near you until you get the song right. Every head bowed. Hallelujah. Brother Jim, go ahead. Whatever you've got. Hallelujah. I'm going to ask you tonight. You say, that's me. I'm going through it. I don't know if it's my personal issues. I don't know what it is that's caused this, but I need a new song. I need a song that will carry me through the darkest of nights. I need a song that will pick me up and carry me above this trial and let me know that God is still on my side. There may be some things in my life I need to straighten up. There may be some issues in my life that I need to correct, but I'm willing to do what God would have me to do. Would you raise your hand? You say, that's me tonight. Come on, come on. Yes, yes, yes. Many hands. I'm waiting. Some of you don't usually answer the altar calls. You need to listen tonight and you need to respond. Are there any others? Yes, yes, yes. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, there's another. Oh, God. Oh, God, let the song arise. Let it be a song of victory. Let it be a song that would turn our enemies and cause them to scatter. Let it be a song that would draw those that need refuge. Hallelujah. Let it be a song that, although we look and see where there was trouble and trials, it would cause us to go to the curtains of our own tent and stretch them out a little bit. Spare not for our own feelings. Spare not for our looks and how other people might think of us and what they might say. You say, hey, I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it because I need God. I need God. I need God to work for me. I've got situations I can't touch. I need God. I've got situations I can't deal with. I need God.